Leading Off starts right now. What's up, everybody? It's your friendo. It's Chris Welsh. That over there, that's Kelly Kirby, the wonky penguin. A little bit of congestion. A little bit of... We went downhill just a tiny bit. I'm pulling a Buxton, Kelly. I was going yesterday, and I'm fading. Well, at least I'm playing, though. Actually, that's the difference. At least I'm out here playing.
That is very true. I am proud of you for pushing through and not hitting the IL. So
thank you. Yeah, we joked before the show that I said, all right, Kelly, we might have the wonky 5, which might be the wonky 20, where I'll just get, all right, Kelly, just talk about stuff. I'm going to sit over here and blow my nose and cough for the next little bit. But I Dayquil'd up. I think I'll be all right. And we get to talk a lot about some baseball stuff that's going down. There actually was a whole bunch of news through and through, and let's get into it. First one, you know what's actually funny is a lot of the headlines are injury-centric, but we're not quite putting them into the injury category. Number one was Brandon Belt, and Brandon Belt dealing with an injury that apparently might be career-ending and career-threatening. He had said, quote, "This one is barking a little bit more. There's just not a lot more that anyone can do. They've literally done everything, and they can't figure it out. I'm not sure there's anything that can be done." And he's a free agent after this year, the 35-year-old, looking like Brandon Belt might be donezo, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't sound good anytime that somebody says that they can't figure out what to do. And when you're in your mid-30s, and I mean, he was always kind of an on-base machine, like in general. So, but I feel like his hitting just has been declining over the last couple of years. So 100%. Maybe he'll hang it up. It just depends on what side of the dealing with his own mortality he's on. Yeah, I'd like to say.
I figure like career enders are, you know, near the top of the list of a headliner. But the two biggest pieces, really actually three biggest pieces that covered yesterday, San Diego Padres, Fernando Tatis addressed the media. He talked to the media, said there's no excuses for the 80-game drug suspension, and he's also going to have shoulder surgery. So two things came out of this for me. One is that, like, that press conference was treated so much so like somebody that was just admitting to the steroid use. That wasn't like, I screwed up. That what he was contrite. He was like, sad agents. Mm-hmm. I really screwed up. Wait till people see what I can do. Blah, blah, blah. I'm so sorry. It didn't feel like someone that actually in reality screwed up with ringworm medication. That seemed like somebody that we all know what's going on, and we're all just pretending it's about the ringworm. And he is there saying like, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I screwed up. Like if I just took some Dayquil, there's something in there that I wasn't supposed to do with Fantasy Pros. I'd be like, I'm sorry. That was my bad. But I wouldn't be like, I'm going to have a press conference and say, I wouldn't feel that bad because it was a dumb mistake. That felt like someone that was full on admittance of steroids. Kelly.
It did. It also felt like I felt like the team sort of made a deal with him. Like, you have to do this. You have to do this press conference. And I'm amazed that he kind of capitulated to having the surgery, where I'm like, how much pressure is the team putting on Tatis right now to sort of become this like humble, don't hurt your image, try to recover things.
They right took now, him so. Down off of like paintings and stuff. They were like taking him off. Just really weird situation. Then the second is he opts for the shoulder surgery, which is like a wild cop out. And there's a part of me that was like, don't you think like MLB, if they were really trying to like crack down, they'd say, all right, well, the suspension is going to start after the shoulder surgery. It's not going to start right now, because I don't know. It just seems so odd, like a no brainer, and attach it to, you should have had the shoulder surgery earlier on. You opted not to, against, I believe it was the Padres and the doctor's orders. And now he's doing it. Like, this is a guy that just, he's giving it all up. He's just like, all right, I don't have any of that control that this, you know, young 20s multimillionaire superstar of MLB has anymore. He's just kind of laying over and praying someone will pet his tummy at this point, Kelly.
He is. And I think that, again, I wonder if they're taking away his motorcycles. That would probably be the next step. I like Jesse L.
I like to pretend the Padres are like his dad. They're just like, you can't have your, you're grounded.
I do like Jesse L's comment where Fernando Tatis, I did not have performing enhancing relations with that ringworm. But yeah, I mean, I think that's just where he is. And with his age and with everything else, they're just kind of putting a lot of pressure on him to shape up, which is you kind of have to do sometimes with guys that young.
The whole process was just weird to me. The whole thing was just like, I'm going to now do what they said before. I'm super sorry. It seemed like nothing about the stupid ringworm. And, you know, let's question how quick he recovers, because some stuff he did before might have been quicker recovery. So let's see if that's going to continuously go on. The other big piece of news was another injury. Los Angeles Dodgers Walker Buehler is undergoing Tommy John surgery, a flexor tendon repair, and he will be out the entire year next year. You shouldn't expect him, though. I think the timeline works where he might be able to kick right off in 2025, but he's out the entire year next year.
2024? Not 2025.
No, he's out. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was a year ahead. He's out 2023. Yep. 2024 would be when he theoretically could return.
Right. So what do you do with him in Dynasty Leagues?
I'm in Dynasty, where you're covering everybody, I don't think it's necessarily a problem. Like, you're not, if you're holding your entire roster, you're not going to just go dump them. Like, what would be the purpose of it? Unless, like, it's, you know, you can only keep 25 of your blah, blah, blah. But then what do you choose in between? Like, Eric Fetty and Walker Buehler? I would hold, same way I think a lot of people held with Tyler Glasnow. Like, I held Tyler Glasnow in a league, in Scott White's big points league last year, because he was cheap and I kept going. But if you're in a keeper league and you're any less than 10, I think it's a no-brainer that you dump him. I don't think there's any way that you even consider. If you're in, like, one of those middle keeper dynasties, I think you could hold. But I don't really see any scenario outside of a deep, deep dynasty or carry him. Do you?
No, I don't. You know, I don't play in a full-on dynasty league, but I do have a keeper kind of keeper dynasty thing going on. And the guy that owns Walker Buehler has been kind of in a sort of chatting in Discord about, like, what he's going to do, how he's going to decide. And I think that it's very hard. I dropped Glasnow in a sort of that same keeper dynasty league last year after he.
How many keepers?
Mostly because it was going to keep. He was going to cost me too much salary wise.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so there's a salary attached that makes it. How many keepers is in that one?
In which one?
The your league with the Glasnow.
Oh, the Glasnow league. It's whoever you want to keep for the salary. It goes up $5 every year.
Salary. Gotcha. Okay.
And I'd had him since a minor league, but it was too expensive.
By the way, he's also reported that Glasnow hasn't ruled out returning this year. There's something that's still on there. He threw just yesterday. The other two pieces, Bryce Harper started his rehab assignment and hit two bombs yesterday. And I think young boy's ready. I think boy's ready to come back up. I wish more of these guys would just rehab at the major leagues. Just get back. Like, a guy like Harper, who's been there long enough, I just don't really – just don't get the benefit. I mean, I suppose if you haven't looked at a whole lot of pitches a lot lately, maybe. But you don't understand. These guys are out there. They're doing simulated games way before they hit rehab stints. With a guy like Harper, they're doing it with Kershaw. They're doing it with Kershaw, where Kershaw is not going to have any rehab starts. He's just going to come to the majors. I wish they would do that. I just don't see the benefit. Two homers in the minor leagues, it's great. Let's just get that at the majors and go. And this totally doesn't have to do with my tout team that I could use Harper back.
Absolutely not. And especially with the MVP or the DH now. Like, a former MVP doesn't need to warm up in the minors. Exactly. You can just have him bat and take his at-bats in the major leagues. And I mean, who else are you filling in there? So
yeah, and what is it?
I just let him do it.
A guy that's been around for so long. It's one thing if it's like a young, like a Josh Rojas or something, a young guy. But it's like, Harper's been around baseball for a really long time. Like, just learn it at that level, and I think he'd be all right. I think so. But hit a couple bombs that make people happy. Over on the injury front here, we've got Byron Buxton, who hit the IL. No bueno. Juan Soto is likely to be held out again on Wednesday. He was scratched from their lineup on Tuesday after his back locked up while taking pregame practice. God, the Soto stuff, it's just been nothing close of what they wanted. Do you feel a Soto run happening? Do you feel like a Soto turn on in September, getting into the playoffs? Do you see this happening? Do you think it's just kind of a lost? Like, he's not playing bad or anything, but this is just not the phenomenal. I mean, Manny Machado still looks like the best player on that team right now. Soto is just not playing at that level since the move.
He's not. And I actually, one thing that I was thinking about yesterday was, if the team knew about Tatis, like, you know, enough to get Drury, did they tell Soto about it? Did he go there thinking that Tatis was going to, you know, this was his move and yeah, so that is actually my question, just to kind of for information. I know that the Nats traded him, but
that's a great question, because Tatis and Soto were reportedly like best friends. They're like great friends. So I'll bet you the Padres did not say a word, but I wonder if Tatis might have said something like, hey, it's going to be glad to have you here. but I'm not going to be here. I don't know. Soto seemed a little bit more shocked than everybody else. Everybody else kind of had a like, here we go, you know, type of thing. Like everybody knew. I mean, to think that this entire organization didn't know for months and months, I think is silly. I think everybody's reaction told you the entirety about it. Soto's was a little bit more like, man, I just can't believe this. He seemed to be a little tongue-tied when he had answered that question. It's a good question.
Yeah. And so the actual question that you asked me, I don't see that coming. I mean, last year after the All-Star break, right, he just turned on every jet that he had and just cruised to the finish. And this year, I just feel like everything's kind of out of sync and all of the Padres' moves are sort of flat with Drury. Yeah, and
Drury falling off too, like Vapor said. And last night, that bad strikeout call. Just bad luck going on. Yeah, they all have there was that Drury grand slam, but when have you heard from Drury with the Padres outside of that one big hit? You haven't heard anything.
No, I think he got like one homer against in the Washington series, and otherwise I can't remember him doing anything.
It's crazy. And then Eloy Jimenez, x-rays came back negative after he was hit on the left elbow. He was hit by a 102 mile an hour fastball from Felix Bautista. And he actually, like, that is somebody that has been, like, perpetually hurt, and he was able to avoid that. Big, big time luck, right?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. I also, if I ever got hit with 102.3 mile per hour fastball, like, I'd have to retire just from life in general. So the fact that it's not broken is just crazy to me.
I think I got hit by, like, a 50 mile an hour, like, grounder pop-up when I was in, like, Little League Baseball. And I remember that just changing the trajectory of my life. Can you imagine 102 just right there? No. But he had an elbow guard on there, so I think that's what saved him. Got a bubble boy, all these players at the end of the day. Let's go take a look at some stat heroes. Trace Thompson had a homer. Alex Bregman, 3-for-4 with a homer, picking it up a little bit. Marcus Semien had a bomb, 2 RBIs, 2-for-5. Bobby Witt, second. I think he's right. 2 homers behind Julio Rodriguez for the rookie home run title right now. 1 homer, 1 RBI, 2 runs. Nolan Arenado, 3-for-4 with a homer. Corey Dickerson, 4-for-5 for the Cardinals. Tommy Edman, also a homer, 3 RBIs. Lots of offensive output. Tyler O'Neill had a homer. Eloy did hit a bomb before getting hit. And Christian Betancourt had a homer with 3 RBI. And I believe he also pitched. I believe he got in and pitched and had a scoreless inning. Yeah, because they were getting walloped. On the pitcher side, this was a wild one. Justin Verlander. I actually screwed up the headlines, too. I meant to talk about this at the headline. I moved the bread and belt one there. Justin Verlander went 6, struck out 10, no-hit innings, and the Astros brought him out. Kelly, were you watching this, that the Astros took him out after the no-hit innings? And I'm a firm, like, you never come out if you have a no-hitter. I don't care about the circumstance. It never matters to me.
Have I gotten to be bitter on show yet about Clayton Kershaw getting pulled after 80 with a perfect game to keep him off the IL? No, I'm not a fan of that. And it's Verlander. How many pitches does Verlander have to throw before he would actually get tired and be like, I need to come 200? Out? I just feel like it's infinity at this point. So, no, I wasn't a big fan of that at all.
I remember seeing it live. I was watching that game because I had a bet on Jordan Alvarez, 2 total bases. He got one. His family was in attendance. It's one of those dumb gambly things where you're like, oh, his family for the first time is seeing him in a professional thing. And I was like scouring online while I was watching, and buddy Paul Sporer, who loves Verlander, was like, what are we talking about here? He was like chastising. He was like, what are we talking about here? People are saying the broadcast is talking about Verlander coming out. What kind of silliness is this? And then he came out, and then they got him out. And he was at, like Groovy said, he was at 90, around 90, 91. Just no way. Just no. I mean, Verlander, if there's a pitcher that knows how to turn on how to just start hitting to contact, you know, and not trying to strike out pitchers, it's him. I'm just shocked. But it's management. This time of year, Astros have bigger plans. I get it. But taking a guy out of a no-hitter, I don't think so. 10 strikeouts, 6 innings. Mwah, beautiful. It wasn't That's a perfect game, but... I don't think. The perfect game, they wouldn't have taken him out.
Well, it says no hits or no walks. Was there an error?
There must have been because they were talking no-hitter. Didn't see like what it was, if he hit a batter or whatever, but if it was a perfect game, there's no way you take the perfect game out, right?
Right. So if you were to go back to draft season, right, and like where would you draft him? Because I know everyone kind of had this weird like I don't know how he's going to be type of thing going on.
I think he would probably be 3 or 4. I think easy top 5. That's not even a question. You know what? A good one would have been Verlander or Max Scherzer. Which of the oldies? Which one do you want? Scherzer or Verlander?
When I did some best ball drafts, right? Like January, February, because it's baseball and I have to do that. I think I went with Scherzer like four or five different spots and I have no Verlander. So,
but right now, would you,
if right, you were now, right now, I would take Verlander. Right now, I take Verlander.
Would you say, I would prefer him. Take over Verlander?
Honestly, with McClanahan doing what he's been doing, DeGrom, I call myself the DeGrump because I stay out of all Jacob DeGrom things. So I would take Verlander.
I would take DeGrom. I would always take DeGrom. Mm-hmm. Max Fried went 8, struck out 7, gave up 1 earned run. Carlos Rodon struck out 10, going 7, giving up 5 hits and 1 earned. Robbie Ray struck out 7 and 6 and 2 thirds. Pablo Lopez, 5 strikeouts, 6 innings, 4 hits. I was actually kind of betting against him in one of those for the total runs through 5. On your stat zeros, mm-hmm. Jake Cave, 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts. Trent Grisham had 4 Ks. Your offers with 3 Ks, Julio Rodriguez, Kyle Schwarber, Franchi Cordero, and Cesar Hernandez. Julio, do you think there's any possibility that Adley or Bobby Witt catch Julio Rodriguez on that Rookie of the Year coming out here? We talked that Adley moved into second place. I think when Bobby mm-hmm. starts getting rolling a little bit, he gets into that conversation. Do you think there's any possibility anyone overpasses Julio? And if so, who is it?
I think the only way that anyone passes Julio is if Baltimore somehow, some way sneaks into the playoffs. Then I think Adley has a shot. But otherwise, he's got too much momentum. And with the home run derby win or the second place finish, I think that he's probably kind of pretty solid right now. Even with this slump, I think it'll be okay.
I guess the assumption would have been like, if Julio struggled over the next month and he just kind of like really tapered mm-hmm. down and you had both those guys, it probably still is Adley. The war numbers are going to play a big toll in it of how valuable mm-hmm. he's been in a short period of time. So it is probably yeah. Adley. And Adley is around plus 200 something for that award. So it's not like a gimme, mm-hmm. gimme. Over on the pitcher side, Winkowski, I think we talked about him on the K prop as one of the algorithm ones, and I think it was 3. He only had 2, give up 6 earned runs and 2 2/3. Corbin Burns, 3 2/3, gave up 7 earned runs. And Adrian Sampson, 5 earned runs, giving up a couple bombs, 8 hits. No bueno. Home run calls. Wonky, set us up for what the Wonky Wednesday home run call is looking like.
So this goes out, shout out to Actively Lazy, who has my favorite username on Discord. But we were chatting about something and he said, I think you should do a respect your elders bonus. And so for today, if you pick a player whose current age is 32 or older, you'll get a bonus point for each home run that he hits. So everyone run out and pick Pujols as fast as you can. But
are you, you know, what you could have done too. Here would have been another one. Every age over 32, you get an extra homer. So it's like if you picked Pujols and he hit a homer, you get like 10 points to make it crazy. That would have been mm-hmm. wild. By the way, can I just point out how like much it hurts that we're acknowledging that 32 are our elders for us that are over, way over 32, not quite 40, but still over 30. Like there's some people in the mm-hmm. chat that are definitely triggered beyond that too. 32 being our elders, Kelly.
I am one day younger than Albert Pujols.
Oh, okay. So you're
One day. So if I had to respect my elder, I think he's the only one left that I could call. So.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. I was about to say, if I had to respect my own elder, I don't know how many I have. Mm-hmm. It might be only Pujols as well. I'm 39. So I don't know how many 39 year old pluses. I think it's only Pujols, right?
I think Maybe. Yeah, I think so. Cause you have to be good enough to stick around that long. So
Leo Franco turned 64 yesterday.
Yeah, is he still playing minor league baseball somewhere?
I think so. He looks fantastic too. He's an anomaly. On the home run calls, didn't have any changes at the top. We don't have a graphic, but High Cubby's still at 46. All the 40s are pretty much the same, except Cat Fox moved up with a Mitch Haniger homer. We got a couple people from a Judge and Simeon homer that are pushing up into the 40s, but it is still High Cubby 2016 at 46, D-Blum at 45. Go Cards at 43, Terry and Mike Mayer at 42, and Cat Fox at 41. Those are what the home run calls look like. And friends, we are going to do some bets. But of course, when we do, we wear our tiara or crowns. I wear a tiara today for BetMGM. Use the promo code leading off right there below. You can see it right under us. You get a risk-free $1,000 bet when you do it. Check us out. BetMGM. Get that one through. I don't know if you actually get like full on, but you can get a 1,000 risk free bet using promo code leading off. Go over, download the app, do whatever you got to do. Set it up today for Kings, Queens, Kings, and Tiaras. Kelly, I've got four plays for us as always. The top, let's take that off.
Are you going to tell us who sent these to you?
I'm going
to
tell you right at the end of the show. I'm going to tell you who sent these to me because I did get confirmation for the Tiara. Okay. We've got the top algorithm play for betting pros on the total bases, the top algorithm play for strikeouts, and then I took the top plus money play for both of those as well, digging through Betting Pros MLB prop cheat sheet, which you guys can go and check out yourself, and I highly suggest you do. The top play for total bases is wildly juiced because it is only at one, and it's Jorge Mateo. Jorge Mateo against the White Sox, you only need one hit, but it is minus 195. You got to pair that with something. That's not a bettable play. So you got to pair that, maybe put that part of a total base parlay, maybe do two or three. That would be a really fun one. On the other one, the top plus money play, sorry, it's the only one I don't have a picture for, was Hunter Renfro against the Dodgers. He is plus 135 at two total bases, projected to go a little over two. So plus money Renfro, top play Mateo. Your strikeouts, you have Jose Urena, who only needs three strikeouts, and it's juiced to 145, minus 145 up against Texas. That one's probably going to hit, if we're being honest, against Texas. But again, you might want to parlay that. Hell, parlay Mateo and Urena and see what happens. And then the plus money play of the day is Jose Berríos at plus 105. Only 4.5 is the number, so you need five strikeouts against the Boston Red Sox. I personally like that one. Kelly, what do you like on these four plays?
I love the Hunter Renfro one. They're facing Andrew Heaney, I believe, who was fairly terrible against them recently. And, you know, Renfro likes left-handed pitchers, so I would go with that one. Berríos is second only to Odorizzi in terms of guys whose props I try to stay away from because, you know, today is he due for one of his, like, six innings, 45 strikeouts? Like, I don't suck anymore. Everybody buy back in.
A little do.
Okay. So I could see that one. I liked that one when I looked, but I do think is it Reina? Yeah. I think he's a good bet to go to three because Texas loves to strike out. So.
And like you said, Berríos is like all or nothing. So he struck out nine Yankees in his last outing, 6 2/3, got nine strikeouts. Remember, you need five here. His two previous to this, he struck out one against Cleveland and one against Minnesota. But in the month of July, he would have hit this prop every single game but one. And there were six starts in the month of July for him. He had 6, 7, 7, 13, 6, and then he had a three strikeout run. So it is absolutely possible when Berríos is on. So you have to ask yourself, is this a good matchup? I kind of think so, that he's on. I don't mind this bet, and it's plus money. If it were any juice, I wouldn't play it at all. I think all of these have some viability to play. Mateo, I think, like you said, how juiced it is, I'm less interested, but you only need one hit. So those are some plays for you. Over on the DFS side, pulled some FanDuel stuff. Here's some pitching prices for you guys. Kyle Wright's at 10-4, Jesus Luzardo 9-6, McClanahan 11-2, Berríos is at 8-2, Gallen at 10-8. Do you have a favorite based on price there, Kelly?
I mean, I'm really in on Gallen today. I like him a lot. So
I like Gallen. Berríos might be sneaky because I don't think he's going to be played. And you're just purely betting on the idea that, like, you know, he's going to be on. And if you hit that strikeout marker, it's probably going to be a whirlwind. I also like the Luzardo one. Probably staying away from McClanahan, staying away from Kyle Wright. There were a couple other high price ones I didn't put in here. For lineup stacks, we've had some weird, like, offensive output going on the last, like, day or two. And it looks like this is supposed to be an offensive day. There were, I think, maybe up to, I may have missed one, seven teams with implied team totals of five or more runs for their team alone. Some of those teams, Houston, Angels, St. Louis, Toronto, Colorado, and Atlanta, all projected, this according to Fantasy Labs, with a team total over five. So, you know, what is it? I think Tampa might have been the other one, or I honed in on Tampa because I just like the matchup. David Peralta would be someone I would be looking at playing today. You know, some of the elder statements, I think Bubba talked about Pujols being kind of cheap, so you could take a look at that. And let's end this bad boy out with the home run call of the day. Elder statesman, 32 or older, you get an extra homer. Kelly, who is your respect your elders home run call?
I have him on my fantasy team, and I had him benched against a lefty once, and I regretted it forever. So I'm going Andrew McCutchen against Heaney.
I like the Andrew McCutchen one. I'm going to go with my boy. Always gets me. I'm going to go with Goldie. Goldie, 34 years old, easy play, elder statesman, my guy. Matchup's pretty good. I don't see a Mayer updated one, and Joe doesn't get to play because he has Aaron Judge. So he has to go away. All right. My official line, we've got 5 2/3, 2 earned runs, 3 Ks, and a win. Wonky with a full inning, 3 Ks, and the save. Yes, I needed relief help today. Thank you, Dr. Glenn. This definitely wouldn't have been a long outing. Would have hoped for more strikeouts, but, you know, I'll take the win in 5 2/3. Not a quality start. Welsh is struggling a little bit today. So, Wonky, thank you for coming in and just closing the game down like you did.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to get crafty, and that's just what you did when you didn't have your best stuff. Also, I wanted to real quick before you reveal that Groovy T is asking whether we should start Giolito at Baltimore. I'm not starting Giolito, like, ever, so that's where I'm at with him.
No, I don't know who's worse, Giolito or Berríos. If you had to choose one, Giolito or Berríos, Kelly?
I would go with Berríos, I think, actually. Giolito's just look terrible.
I think I would, too. I like that. All right. So, the crown. The other day, I came home. There was a package in front of my door. Didn't know what it was. Opened it up. There were 10 tiaras in here. Anyone that's new, obviously, just doesn't know the bit where Joe has had his awesome crown all year. I had my daughter's tiara. I put it on. Some of you liked it. Probably some of you don't. And many are probably indifferent. But then my daughter took it away. And I couldn't find it. And she won't tell me where it is because she got pissed that I had stolen it. So all of a sudden, weeks go by. And these get sent to me. And I got lots of different flavors, by the way. I probably should have asked you if different colors. A red one. There's a blue one. I stole a couple. Nice. And I didn't know who did it. And my thought was Jesse L, who's a ITL Army guy, a friend of mine. And I thought Jesse might have done it. He said no. After the show of this reveal, I got a phone call 5 minutes after the show. Mm-hmm. It was Cousin Donnie. Cousin Donnie did eventually do it. And we found out, I think that was Go Card's guess. I think that was your guess. He had actually sent it weeks before, and PCPA gave him the wrong address. So it had been sitting in limbo, and it had been nowhere. And he was ready to try to go, like, hand deliver it. He finally got the address. It finally came 2 or 3 weeks later. And thank you to Cousin Donnie. I will bust out the Red Ruby crown for tomorrow to get these game used in. So easy money pays off. Cousin Donnie with the crown. Good guesses for all of you. Mm-hmm. Kelly, thank you so much for rocking today. What do you got going on that people need to know about?
Oh, I was going to have an answer, but then I had to take my dog to the vet. So I am actually doing, I know this is weird, but I'm actually working on hockey rankings over at Fantrax. I write fantasy hockey articles. So that's kind of what I'm looking at right now.
So. Oh, nice. Got to hook you up with my buddy Jesse Severe, who's a big hockey guy. They can get you, you guys should do some podcasting together or something like that. You want to know what? I'm not a hockey guy. But two things I love about hockey. I love hockey video games, and I love hockey fantasy. It's actually really fun when you get into it and you're playing, you know, gambling also, I will tell you, playing like the shots on goal props and stuff. It's a lot of fun. So hockey can be fun in that respect. All right, friends, that is the episode. All of you, thank you so much for hanging out. I believe Andrew Seifter is back with me tomorrow. So tune in right here to Leading Off. I'm the Welsh. That is the Wonky Penguin. And we're out of here. My voice is going. Bye-bye. See you.